Welcome to an episode of Penguin Press Volumes, the podcast where our editors share the inside scoop about their new books and where you can listen to a sneak peek of the audiobook. On today's episode, we're discussing The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. Listen to editor Ginny Smith-Yonce discuss the new book, on sale today.
This is Ginny Smith-Yonce here to tell you about The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. The collapse of youth mental health over the last decade is one of the biggest public health stories in the world. What can we do to reverse the international epidemic of depression, anxiety, self-harm, and suicide? Best-selling, critically acclaimed author John Haidt is back with The Anxious Generation, a vital investigation into how we got here, as well as scientifically grounded guidance on what we can all do to push back. Anecdotally, every colleague, every friend I have mentioned this book to who has a child in this cohort has stopped me cold to say how essential it is. John actually didn't mean to write this book. He was writing another book on how our democracy is imperiled because the two halves of our country no longer share the same language, the same norms. The story of the collapse of this generation's mental well-being was meant to be simply a chapter in that book, but the issues here consume John with their urgency. And we know that John, who's a social psychologist who studies morality, emotion, and culture, knows how to speak into the most difficult spaces with wisdom and clarity. His previous books on the coddling of the American mind and the righteous mind continue to help readers understand our complex time, and he is uniquely in demand across the media spectrum, both in interviews and in citations of his popular Substack. Now, John begins this book with what he calls the Great Rewiring. He argues that Gen Z, or those born after 1996, had the unique bad fortune to begin puberty around 2009 at the convergent point of several tech megatrends: the arrival of the iPhone, viral social media platforms with the then novel like and retweet buttons, and the beginning of selfie culture with the first smartphone front-facing cameras and Facebook's acquisition of Instagram. Gen Z, therefore, became the first generation to come of age with a device in their pocket that was brilliantly engineered to capture their developing minds. And capture it did. They had far less human interaction as a result, and their neural pathways suffered for it. Essentially, we swapped social attunement critical periods for social media. Now, there's a second plot line in the story, one that affects kids of all ages. The massive, well-intentioned, and disastrous shift in parenting over the last half century toward overprotection. We've ignored the innate need kids have for discovery and risky play to develop essential resilience and anti-fragility. We see the results of this coddling culture on the left with cancel culture and on the right with the cult of book banning. We've helicoptered in from all sides and taken the vital locus of internal control away from young people. This move from a healthy, play-based childhood to a phone-based one has left us with this mental health tsunami. Now, the storm maybe has hit girls harder than boys, but technology has blocked healthy development for all genders. Now, there has been some debate about the causes of this epidemic, but this is now one of the rare spaces where there is convergence from the left and the right, and John Haidt is at the white-hot center of that discourse. Here in The Anxious Generation, he offers the definitive story of what happened, and crucially, what we all can and must do now. His essential research-based prescriptions for parents, schools, employers, and teens is the third and final section of this vital book. John is now at the helm of a growing movement to stop this terrible tide and free the anxious generation from the phone-based childhood. As a parent and as a citizen, I wish him and all of us every success. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed hearing from the editor. Now here's a sneak peek of the book. Happy listening.
Over the course of many decades, we found ways to protect children while mostly allowing adults to do what they want. Then, quite suddenly, we created a virtual world where adults could indulge any momentary whim, but children were left nearly defenseless. As evidence mounts that phone-based childhood is making our children mentally unhealthy, socially isolated, and deeply unhappy, are we okay with that trade-off? Or will we eventually realize, as we did in the 20th century, that we sometimes need to protect children from harm even when it inconveniences adults? I'll offer many ideas for reforms in Part 4, all of which aim to reverse the two big mistakes we've made: overprotecting children in the real world, where they need to learn from vast amounts of direct experience, and underprotecting them online, where they are particularly vulnerable during puberty. The suggestions I offer are based on the research I present in Parts 1 through 3. Since the research findings are complicated, and some of them are contested among researchers, I will surely be wrong on some points, and I will do my best to correct any errors by updating the online supplement for the book. Nonetheless, there are four reforms that are so important, and in which I have such a high degree of confidence, that I'm going to call them foundational. They would provide a foundation for healthier childhood in the digital age. They are: 1. No smartphones before high school. Parents should delay children's entry into round-the-clock internet access by giving only basic phones, phones with limited apps and no internet browser, before ninth grade, roughly age 14. 2. No social media before 16. Let kids get through the most vulnerable period of brain development before connecting them to a fire hose of social comparison and algorithmically chosen influencers. 3. Phone-free schools. In all schools from elementary through high school, students should store their phones, smartwatches, and any other personal devices that can send or receive texts in phone lockers or locked pouches during the school day. That is the only way to free up their attention for each other and for their teachers. 4. Far more unsupervised play and childhood independence. That's the way children naturally develop social skills, overcome anxiety, and become self-governing young adults. These four reforms are not hard to implement if many of us do them at the same time. They cost almost nothing. They will work even if we never get help from our legislators. If most of the parents and schools in a community were to enact all four, I believe they would see substantial improvements in adolescent mental health within 2 years. Given that AI and spatial computing, such as Apple's new Vision Pro goggles, are about to make the virtual world far more immersive and addictive, I think we'd better start today. While writing the happiness hypothesis, I came to have great respect for ancient wisdom and the discoveries of previous generations. What would the sages advise us today about managing our phone-based lives? They'd tell us to get off our devices and regain control of our minds. Here is Epictetus in the 1st century CE, lamenting the human tendency to let others control our emotions. If your body was turned over to just anyone, you would doubtless take exception. Why aren't you ashamed that you've made your mind vulnerable to anyone who happens to criticize you, so that it automatically becomes confused and upset? Anyone who checks their mentions on social media or has ever been thrown for a loop by what somebody posted about them will understand Epictetus's concern. Even those who are rarely mentioned or criticized, and who simply scroll through a bottomless feed featuring the doings, rantings, and goings-on of other people, will appreciate Marcus Aurelius's advice to himself in the 2nd century CE. Don't waste the rest of your time here worrying about other people unless it affects the common good. It will keep you from doing anything useful. You'll be too preoccupied with what so-and-so is doing and why, and what they're saying and what they're thinking and what they're up to, and all the other things that throw you off and keep you from focusing on your own mind. Adults in Gen X and prior generations have not experienced much of a rise in clinical depression or anxiety disorders since 2010. But many of us have become more frazzled, scattered, and exhausted by our new technologies and their incessant interruptions and distractions. As generative AI enables the production of super realistic and fabricated photographs, videos, and news stories, life online is likely to get far more confusing, It doesn't have to be that way. We can regain control of our own minds. This book is not just for parents, teachers, and others who care for or about children. It's for anyone who wants to understand how the most rapid rewiring of human relationships and consciousness in human history has made it harder for all of us to think, focus, forget ourselves enough to care about others, and build close relationships. The Anxious Generation is a book about how to reclaim human life for human beings in all generations.
Thank you for listening and supporting our books. To learn more about what's coming up, follow us online. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you next time.